Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Oh,
Let us pray. O Jesus, you were made alive by the Spirit, descended into hell as victor and Lord, and exposed our enemy shattered and defeated. As you, O Savior, have turned all Satan's accusations against us into empty noises and rescued us from everlasting fire, fill us with the Holy Spirit, so that we ignore the devil's lies, despise his temptations, and live through this brief darkness as boldly and joyfully as you march through hell. For you are one God with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for Christ's descent into hell is from the first book of Moses, called Genesis, the third chapter. The man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman, whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If it had not been the Lord who was on our side,
that Israel would not say.
If it had not been the Lord who was on our side,
when evil rose up against us,
then they would have swallowed us alive.
When their anger was kindled against us,
then the flood would have swept us away.
The torrent would have gone over us.
Then over us would have gone
the raging waters.
Blessed be the Lord,
who has not given us as prey to their teeth.
We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers.
The snare is broken, and we have escaped.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Colossae, the second chapter, and St. Peter's first letter, the third chapter. Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it over his own head on the cross. Then, having drawn the sting of all the powers raised against us, he exposed them shattered, empty, and defeated, and put to death by flesh. He was made alive by the Spirit, by whom he went and made proclamations to the spirits in prison. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter.
Glory.
Jesus was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demons had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, by the prince of demons," while others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And he descended into hell. In St. Luke's Gospel, which is our text for today, Jesus said, "If it's by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his trusted armor and divides his spoil. This is our text. You might remember from a few years ago a book by the title Heaven is for Real. It's a story about a young boy, a true-to-life story, it claims, of a young boy who had a near-death experience of heaven. The book was really popular, and I think a movie was made out of it as well. People seemed to just eat it up. Honestly, I was a little bit bothered by it. Not bothered by the book itself, but bothered rather because people seemed to care so much about the boy's story, more than they cared even about what the Holy Spirit says, what it says in Scripture. There's a danger, and the danger, I think, is there for all of us, a danger that we confuse or forget why we believe what we believe. Dear friends, it's Scripture alone. Scripture alone is the pure, clear fountain of truth. So we know heaven is for real for one reason and one reason only, because it was revealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, you heard me say that today our focus isn't on heaven. We are focusing on Christ's descent into hell. Yes, he ascended into heaven. We'll celebrate that in 5 weeks. But today's focus is in the other direction. Before he ascended into heaven, he also descended. He descended into hell, as we confess in the Apostles' Creed. That confession has been used by the church for almost 1,600 years. It's great to confess something with such a long history and such a wide use. But even better is this. Every line of the Apostles' Creed has the Bible behind it, including the line, "He descended into hell." So not only do we believe that heaven is real, we also believe that hell is real. And we believe that whether or not there's ever a best-selling book or movie with that title. Now, maybe you're thinking that this is turning into one of those sermons. You know the kind. Fire and brimstone. Pound the pulpit and declare eternal torment. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. And all that. I promise you my goal isn't to scare you. But I'm also not going to ignore what Scripture says. I'm not going to make hell sound better than it is. Hell has no bright side. There is no silver lining. And here's the point. If we're going to grasp what Jesus did for us when he descended into hell, if we're going to grasp what that means for us, and make no mistake, it was for us, then we need to know something about hell. So here it goes. We'll start in Matthew 25. You might recall the parable there that Jesus tells of the sheep and the goats as they are brought before the king at the last judgment. To the goats, the king says, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Two things we can note about this. The first one is that hell is not the devil's playground. It's his place of punishment. It was prepared for him as the place where he will suffer eternally. And second, hell is to be banished from the sight of God. Depart from me. Hell is to be out of communion with him. It is to go away into eternal punishment. And in other places of the Scriptures, we see similar things. Hell is described, no surprise here, as a place of intense agony of body and soul. It's called tribulation and distress, being in torment, in anguish in this flame, the unquenchable fire, where the worm doesn't die and the fire isn't quenched, a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Before Christ's return and final judgment, St. Peter calls hell the place where spirits are in prison, suffering punishment. Of course, we already have a sense of these things. What is it that we say in our most severe pain and our greatest earthly sufferings? That was hell. Because in those things, we think that we've gained a glimpse of eternal damnation. It's like the agony of a fish removed from water. I'm sure you've seen it, flopping all over the place, except the fish's suffering is only temporary. So why did Jesus descend into hell? We might think that he descended into hell in order to suffer. But note the order of things. He descended after he died and was buried. That means that it comes after his cry of dereliction from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? To be forsaken by God is the definition of suffering hell. We do believe that Jesus suffered the torment of hell, but he suffered all of the eternal torment of hell in that moment there on the cross. And then on the cross, Jesus also said, "It is finished." What is finished? His suffering and dying to redeem sinners is finished. And we'll get back to that in just a minute. And then he was buried. On the seventh day, he rested in the tomb, and his suffering was over. So do you see the order? Suffering and death on the cross, burial in the tomb, then comes his descent into hell. After he had done everything for our redemption. And what did he do for our redemption? What is it that hangs over our heads? What is it that threatens and condemns us? What is it that leads us to say that we fairly deserve God's punishment both now and eternally? It's our sin. That's what the devil would throw in our faces. My fault, my own most grievous fault. And it is indeed grievous. But St. Paul tells us in Colossians, he says this, Christ has utterly, utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments which always hung over our heads. You see what St. Paul says? That the thing that's been hanging over our heads, Christ has wiped out. The very evidence that the devil would use to attack and condemn us has been taken away. He, St. Paul says, Christ has completely annulled it by nailing it over his head on the cross. The condemnation fell on him. Good Friday took care of every single one of your sins and mine. It happened by his innocent suffering and death, by his holy, precious blood, the forgiveness of sins for you and me. So having drawn the sting of all the powers ranged against us, Christ exposed them shattered, defeated, and empty. And that includes the power of the devil and the threat of hell. Because of Good Friday, shattered, empty, and defeated. His heel was bruised on the cross, but Satan's head was crushed completely and totally. So there really is nothing more that Christ needs to do for our redemption after what he did on Good Friday. But it's not like Jesus retired after his burial. His life wasn't finished. His rule wasn't ended. He had more work to do. The work now, not of redeeming us, but the work of proclaiming his victory, the work of delivering his spoils, the work of setting us captives free. The strife is o'er, the battle done. And then what? What happens when victory is certain? What comes after the war? That's the time for restoring order. That's the time for setting things right. And that's why Jesus descended into hell. Made alive by the Spirit, but before rising from the dead, Jesus descended into hell. He went where no living man had ever gone. No man had ever before entered hell as Lord and Victor. No man had ever before bound Satan and crushed the serpent's head. No man had ever before entered hell and walked out with the keys. And that's what Jesus did. Earlier, when Jesus was casting out demons, Satan should have seen how it would end. He should have had a clue how things were going. His minions couldn't withstand Jesus. No devil, no unclean spirit could stand against the power of our Lord, not even legions of them at once. And even when his disciples spoke his word, it was enough to make Satan fall like lightning. Jesus said, "If it's by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." Already there in his ministry, the kingdom of God was coming, and Jesus brought his kingdom into fullness by his death, and then he proclaimed his kingdom in hell. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. Satan is a strong man, no question about it. And when he guards his palace, his goods are safe until the one who is stronger attacks him and overcomes him. For the stronger one will take away that man's trusted armor and he will divide his spoil. The stronger man has come, dear friends, and the stronger man has triumphed over the strong man on the cross. And he stood on his feet and proclaimed his victory over the forces of hell. Satan's weapons are no match for Jesus. Hell doesn't scare our Lord. He went there and he made royal proclamation. He came as king and he declared Satan's utter defeat. And not only that, he rubbed Satan's nose in his defeat and he paraded him in chains. He made a mockery of him. And why did Christ do this? He did it for us. He did it for you. He did it so that you know you have nothing to fear from Satan and that you have nothing to fear from hell. Everything Satan holds over your heads has already been nailed above Jesus and paid in full. And what about hell? Why, the gates of hell are no match for him. They can't stand before our Lord. Like Samson, who went down to the Philistines and tore down the gates of their city, our Lord went to hell and he destroyed the gates of hell. They've got no power over him. One little shout and they topple over like the walls of Jericho. If the Lord had not been on our side, if the Lord had not been on our side when Satan stood against us and the mouth of hell gaped in front of us, if the Lord had not been on our side, then certainly we would be lost, and certainly we would have much to fear. But dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the stronger man has come, and the stronger man has taken away your sins, which are the devil's only weapon against you. And the stronger man has proclaimed his victory in hell itself. It doesn't mean there is no hell. Hell is for real. It doesn't mean that hell is completely empty, but what it means is this: hell can't have those who belong to Jesus, which means hell can't have you. Jesus is for real, and he died for real, and his forgiveness is for real. And he descended body and soul into hell for real, so that we never have to. He descended to hell indeed. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs.
O Lord God, your Son Jesus Christ is the stronger man who plundered Satan's house. He cast out demons by your finger. He removed the accusations of the devil that stood against us by his death on the cross. And then he descended into hell to announce his complete victory. As the God of peace, now crush Satan under our feet. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light in the darkness. Send your Holy Spirit so that we would keep your word by believing the truth and by showing mercy and love toward others. Lead us to confess Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, with boldness and courage in all that we say and do, that we might shine as lights in this dark world. Sustain all Christians in times of persecution and distress. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, all authority in heaven and on earth belongs to your Son. Bless faithful and godly rulers, but curb those who are wicked and break their power, that all would bend their knees before Jesus. Hinder every evil plan and purpose of the devil who would undermine church, state, and home. Receive our thanks for the birth of Alex to Emma Solberg. Grant that he might soon receive rescue from sin, death, and the power of the devil through holy baptism. And protect, we pray, all women who are pregnant. Lord, in your mercy. Father, Satan fell like lightning through the ministry of those whom Jesus sent. In your great mercy, bless our seminaries, that those preparing to be pastors might carry out Christ's ministry in the places where you send them. Hear our prayers especially for Ed Schneefloch, Patrick Jackson, Jackson Schofield, Paul Hammes, and those who will soon be receiving divine calls and vicarage assignments. Bless also Michael and Nancy Jane Maurizio in their daily work and as they train to be pastor and deaconess. By your word, grow a vibrant and faithful church in Italy. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, our spirits faint, our hearts are desolate, and we have nowhere to turn but to you. Deliver us and all who are in need from Satan, sin, death, and despair, especially Steve Meyer, Melinda Bergeron and her child, Dana and Ann Blaze, John Meyer Jr., Lucy Naylor, Sherry Nord, Ed Pinard, Alicia Reinhardt, Anthony Simeoni, Michelle Studlian, Stan Thompson, Luann Trigo, Carol Wade, Sharon White, Joe Zaneski, Dan and Patty, and all who mourn, especially Care To, and Ann Bennett and her sister Mary Bell. Let your good spirit bring them out of all troubles. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, after the resurrection, Jesus proclaimed peace to his disciples and comforted them by his real bodily presence. Make us confident in his mercy toward us and gladden our hearts as he comes to us in his body and blood to forgive, renew, and strengthen us. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you created Adam in your image and gave him Eve as his helpmate. And after their fall into sin, you promised them a Savior who would crush the devil's might. By the goodness and loving kindness of Christ our Savior, number us among those who are coming out of the tribulation, with the seal of the living God upon our foreheads and with our robes made white by the blood of the Lamb. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Psalm 33. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous, praise, benefit the upright. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fill the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees the children of man. From where he sits enthroned, he looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. The king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a false hope of salvation, and by its great might it cannot rescue. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him. On those who hope in his steadfast love, he may deliver their soul from death and keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our hope and our shield. For our glad in him, because his trust is in holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts.
Thank you. Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.